Yerushalmi, corresponding to Avodah Bavli, Daf Nun. We begin Yerushalmi on Daf Chofei Amud Aleph at the beginning of the Perek. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Shmuel Eime, Shalosh Avonim, Zu Besad Zu, Besad Makulis, Asuris, Ushtaim, Mutaris. Rabbi Shmuel says, if there are three stones side by side next to a Makulis pile, they're assumed to be in addition to the Makulis and they're prohibited. If there are only two, then they're permitted. Chachamim say whatever can be seen with it is prohibited, whatever cannot be seen with it is permitted. Gemara says Amar Biami, time to Bishmal Mishum Makulis Godol etz Makulis Kotten. Biami says Bishmal's reasoning is that it's normal to have a large Makulis stone next to a small one. Rabbanon Ami Mishum Ragle Makulis, and Rabbanon say it's not normal to do this, but rather anything which can be seen together with an idol is considered part of it. Kamehain Ragle Makulis. The question is, how near must a stone be to the Makulis for us to know that a person threw it as an act of worship? Rabbi B'Shem Rabbonon, the Tamon, Chamishim Amma, Rabbi Baal, quoting the rabbis of Bavel, said, within 50 Amois. Hilkach, Makulis Kachi Shtei Avonim Zorgav Zu Vashlishis Melamala. The standard way, therefore, to make a Makulis is two stones, one on top of the other, with a third stone resting above them. When he places the second stone, even before he places the third, if they warned him against constructing an idol, he received lashes, as the Pasuk says in Shmois, in Peg Chof, Pasuk Dalet, you shall not make an image. And we skip now. When he places the third stone, thereby turning it into a Makulis, it falls within the dispute of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. If a person slaughtered an animal and its offspring as an act of idolatry, Rabbi Yochanan Omar im hisubai mishum oisav es benoi leike, mishum avay dezoa, niskal. Rabbi Yochanan says, if they warned him against the prohibition of slaughtering an animal and its offspring on the same day, he received lashes for that. If they warned him against the prohibition of idolatry, he received lashes for that. Even if they warned him against the slaughtering an animal and its offspring on the same day, he does not receive lashes for that, because he'd been warned against idolatry, because since had he been warned against idolatry, he would have incurred the punishment of stoning. How far does the stringency of Makulis go? Even if he made a bridge from its stones to cross a body of water, or he made with them a fence for a public road, it's prohibited to gain benefit from them. The question is, the normal service of a Makulis is to throw a stone at it. What if a person instead bowed down to it? Rabbi Yossi says, bowing down is also one of the primary ways to serve it. The Pasuk says in Vayikra, Perek Chof Vav, Pasuk Aleph, and in your land you shall not place a pavement stone on which to bow down. Without the phrase on which to bow down, I might have thought that one may not even put two stones side by side and then put a box on top of them. The Pasuk therefore says that it's only prohibited if you set up on which to bow down. Also, one may not bow down on a pavement stone, but one may bow down on the stones of the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Mifka LeBeis, Rav Acha, Rav Ami Mifka LeInche Beisa, Kad, Tahavun, Nafkin, LeTanitha, LeTahavun, Ravin, Ge'ochachoin. Rav ordered the house of Rav Acha, and Rav Ami ordered the members of his household that when they go out to the gathering on a fast day and they fall on their faces, they shouldn't do so in the way that they fall in their homes, where there's sand, since the place of gathering was covered with a stone floor, with his arms and legs stretched out. Rabbi Yossi said, when he heard what Shmuel saw, he questioned Rabbi Abol from the pasuk that we had earlier, that in your land you should not place a pavement stone on which to bow down. Tipate, and they answered, Bekoivea loy mokom. That prohibition refers to fixing a place to bow down, as was done in the Beis HaMikdash, but to bow down on an occasional basis in any place would be permitted. And the Gemara asks, "Vahi David ba ad haroish ashi shtachve sham lelukim." The question is that the pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, Pek Tes Vav Pasuk Lamed Beis, and it was David was coming to the top where he would bow down to Hashem, which indicates he had a fixed place to bow down. And the Gemara answers, "Bolvad shtachavaya sheina ala oretz." There he answered, he bowed down there, but didn't actually fall on his face with his arms and legs stretched out, which is actually the main prohibition. And the Gemara asks, "V'chiyesh shtachavaya she'ena ala aret?" Is this such a thing as bowing that doesn't include falling on one face with his arms and legs stretched out? And the Gemara answers, "V'yichu apayim answer ala ritzpa v'yishtachave." The answer is yes. The pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim, base in Perek Zayin, pasuk Gimel, and they kneeled with their faces to the ground on the floor, and they prostrated themselves. And since it doesn't say they prostrated themselves on the floor, it indicates that there was no stretching out of the arms and legs. We are bo moisif ad hoyd la shem ki toiv, v'mana moisif ad ki loylam chastoi al yisrael. Now we have a Mishnah in Shavuos that teaches if a person became tomei in the base of Mikdash and remained there for the amount of time it takes to prostrate himself, he incurs koreis. The Gemara asks there, what's this period of time? And answers that it's the time it takes to say the pasuk that we had just above about in Divrei Hayomim. Now, Rabbo adds that the period also includes the time it takes to say the following phrase of that pasuk, where, and it said, this is a quote, "Give thanks to Hashem, for he is good." Ravana added also the end of the pasuk, "For his loving kindness is eternal." And until one actually will remain there for the amount of time to say all that, then he does not incur the punishment of Koreis. Rabbi Yochan Amar Lebchia Ba'aba, Bavlaya, Train Milin Salkin, Min Gabichoin, Mipshutisa, the Tanisa, Vuravta, the Yema Shvia. Rabbi Yochanan said to Abchir Ba'aba from Babel, "There are two customs that came from Babel that are now followed in Eretz Yisrael. On the public fast day, they only prostrate themselves on their sides. They hit the Arava, which is the willow branch, on Hashanah Rabba as a remembrance of the Beis HaMikdash." Rabbanon de Kisrin Amrin Oif Hadar Mekazta. Rabbanon of Kisrin add that in bloodletting, they also follow the custom of Babel, only to do it on a Sunday, a Wednesday, or a Friday. The Isaki Haida Amma Rabbi Ami Bevloya, Beshem Rabbonon de Taman, Lehisu, Shtachavaya, Ela de Tanis, Sibbo, Uvovad, Al Hasad. The teaching of Rabbi Yochan is like that which Rabbi Ami of Babel said in the name of the rabbis over there. They only permitted prostrating themselves on a public fast day and only on their sides. Rabbi Anna is the Ira Beshem Avase, Kormisha Eni Kosher, Koyeshua, Shem Yippel, Aponov, Yemula, Kosh Bochu, Kumnach, Al Yippel, Uvovad Yochid, but Sibbo, Al Had Sibbo. Rabbi Anna, the younger, quoting his forefather, said that whoever is not upstanding like Yeshua and is not sure that if he falls on his face, Hashem will tell him, like he did to Yeshua in Perek Zion Pasuk Yud over there, "Arise and don't fall," he shouldn't fall on his face. And it's specifically when an individual prays for the community in front of them, as he'll be embarrassed if his prayer is not answered. But an individual in private may fall on his face.